About 1,500 people died from the Titanic's accident. Details about it reached Springfield on April 17th. That day's Illinois State Journal reported that railroad men in the city were mourning the death of Charles M. Hayes, who died during the sinking. They had known Hayes when he was president of the Wabash Railroad. But the greatest loss was likely felt by Howard K. Weber, president of First National Bank in Springfield, the local representative for the Titanic's parent company, the White Star Line. According to the newspaper, Weber had crossed the Atlantic 6 times on other ships with the Titanic's captain, Edward J. Smith. The captain literally went down with the Titanic, and his body was never recovered. Weber spoke highly of Smith and said he was well-liked.
The whole thing to me is a tragedy too sorrowful for words to portray. I knew Captain Smith not as an acquaintance, but as a good friend. We always made it a point to be together on trips across the ocean, and he took pride in informing me of new appliances on his ships.
Weber said he knew a lot of the Titanic's crew and considered them among the White Star's best. Just the previous summer, Weber had joined Smith on the maiden voyage of the Olympic, the first in the White Star Line's Olympic class of megaships. The Titanic was the second. These were designed to be the biggest ships of their time. According to the Journal article, Smith told Weber then that the Titanic would be shipping soon, but he hated to give up his post on the Olympic. On that trip, Smith also showed him a device meant to prevent accidents like the Titanic's. Here's how Weber described it.
The device detects the pressure of large foreign bodies not only by the change of temperature, but also from varying pressure. By it, even a whale can be detected when not seen. The instrument is wonderfully delicate, and in the case of an object as large as the iceberg, would have made an unmistakable record.
Weber assumed the Titanic had this new device, which he called the iceberg indicator, but he wasn't sure. Regardless, he said Captain Smith and other officers were convinced the new liner was unsinkable. The First National Bank president had seen the Titanic in dry dock while it was under construction that previous summer. He was scheduled to travel on her a few months after she hit the iceberg. Just days before the Titanic sank, he got confirmation of his reservation. 2 days after the accident, Springfield's other paper, the Illinois State Register, reported the comments of another city resident familiar with liners.
A Springfield man who followed the sea in the passenger trade of the Atlantic at one time and knows something of boats says he is convinced that the facts, when found, will bear out his opinion that the architect went too far. He says the Titanic may have struck a submerged berg and doubled up amidships, broken her back. The middle is the vulnerable part of a steamship. He thinks something defective in the make of the floating palace caused the trouble, and adds that 4 or 5 weeks hence, the truth may come out.
It took a lot longer than that, but the Springfield man was right. When the Titanic was found in 1985, we learned that she did, in fact, break in half, and many of the theories about her sinking partly blame her construction.